Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
The Torah commands, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow.
I believe restoring religious faith to its rightful place as the guide to our world and its future is itself of the essence.
In Islam, there is the hadith that reads, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself.
We have every state represented here today. A half a dozen head of states, 182 nations represented.
The same is true for Buddhists and Hindus, for followers of Confucius, and for humanists.
Interesting conversation with my wife last night. You know, I get home, and I shouldn't do this, but one of the first things I do is I pop open the laptop, and after, of course, eating dinner and saying hello and all those kind of things. No, it's not a chalada to begin with. That's a little later. But I pop open the laptop. And my wife is not a computer person, which is an understatement. Not that she has no skill in it. She has no interest whatsoever. She finds computers annoying and a necessary and hardly that unnecessary evil. She said, she started asking me some questions. What's a blog? What's Facebook? What's MySpace? And it's difficult to explain to someone who despises computers and everything about them. I said, well, it's just a way that people connect with one another. So it's all like email, right? Which is the one thing she does know about computers. It's all like email. Well, no, but for your purposes, since you're never going to use any of it, yeah, honey, that's what it is. It's a way to connect people. That's what we do here on Issues Etc. We try to connect with our listeners, them with us. And we start Fridays with a listener email. We'll do that today. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After we read some of your email, just some of it, not all of it, but just some of it, we'll pick our Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then we'll let you pick the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the second hour of the program, we're going to be talking about St. Valentine. Ted Olson, managing editor of News and Online Journalism for Christianity Today, will be our guest. We'll say what we can about St. Valentine. There's not much to say there, I can guarantee you. And then Dr. Peter Scare will join us later in the second hour. The church remembers Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos, all of them erstwhile companions of St. Paul, but saints in their own right. We'll talk about them in the second hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Friday. It's the 13th of February, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Oh, and we have to find out how Jeff's basketball team did a little later in the first hour. I think the plans that were well laid, he even was writing on the whiteboard here at LPR explaining his strategy, did not turn out so well. But we'll find out that a little bit later. What's up first for email, Jeff?
Lorna writes, thank you for your detailed review of the Shack during a recent audio broadcast. You are eloquent and easy to understand, and you thoroughly proved the 4 points you made about Young's misinterpretation of who God is according to Scripture. That's, of course, William Young, the author of the Shack. I think that's important for people to understand. It is only the Word of God that accurately portrays who the God of the Word is. But, Mr. Wilkin, that is where I think you missed the mark on this book. Young's book is a piece of fiction. It is not the Bible. Your parting comment in the review even states as such. The Shack does not present the God we find in Holy Scripture. That simple statement in itself completely conveys the truth. The Shack is not Scripture. How can it accurately portray the Word of God? In looking for a true representation of God in this piece of fiction, you are guilty of what you warn others of avoiding during your review. Anytime we take something that is created and try to find the Creator in it, our interpretation will be flawed. God is no more like Papa from Young's book than he is like Aslan from Lewis's Narnia. Perhaps your time would have been better spent in helping people understand the danger of drawing doctrine from fiction. Can God speak to us and bring life to our journey here on this earth through a piece of fiction? I believe he can. He is God. He can do whatever he wants. Both Young's book and the Narnia books have made me want to learn more about God from his word. And that is the key here in my estimation. Always, always, we must measure the things we read, hear, see, and experience against the plumb line of His Word. Digest and grow from the parts that line up and spit out the parts that are chaff. That's Lorna.
Well, okay, a couple things here. First of all, you're right. Only Scripture reveals God as He is. But there are works of fiction that can accurately portray God in line with Holy Scripture. She mentioned a couple in passing, some C.S. Lewis stuff, to one degree or another, is very good at depicting the true nature of God in a fictional way. And Christians have recognized this ever since, Lewis was putting pen to paper. The whole bone-spitting argument is an interesting one. I think there are times when you can say, okay, we're going to spit bones here. But I think more often than not nowadays, it is not bone-spitting. It is, the analogy isn't, well, you eat the meat, but you spit out the bones. The analogy is not a fish or a piece of meat. The analogy is perhaps more like tainted meat, bones and all. Would you eat it? Can you spit out the parts that aren't necessarily tainted? I mean, after all, not every molecule of that steak is tainted. Can't you find a way of sifting through it? Sometimes you can't. The taint is so thorough throughout what you're trying to consume. Now, in the case of the shack, the very problem is that people are drawing their understanding of God from that piece of fiction. And they're failing to distinguish the God of Scripture from the God presented there. Now, if everyone was reading with eyes wide open and realizing that, oh no, this is fiction, and of course everyone knows it's fiction, but they think that perhaps the portrayal of God isn't. If everyone were reading with eyes wide open, then no review would be necessary. The reason the review is necessary and the reason it's necessary to tell people this is a misunderstanding is precisely because not only unbelievers, but even Christians are reading the shack and saying, close enough, good enough for me. I might even like Papa a little bit better than God the Father. So that's why the reviews are necessary.
All right, this is Barbara in Pennsylvania. She's responding to our series this week on men in the church. Barbara writes, Jesus did not have separate teachings for men and women. What men need is the same thing women need. The separations that are taught tell me that you don't care if you leave women in a Gnostic belief system or not. The only thing that will rescue women from themselves is the same masculine word of Christ that men need. Why are men more happy to separate from women with their boys' clubs and leave women to themselves, to their false sentimentalism? Christ called his apostles to go into all the world with all of his word. We will say this applies to babies, but not care if women hear the truth or not, as long as men do. I like what the minister said as far as it applied to Christians as a body. But when is it taught only for men and assuming that women need sentimentality or don't care if they have sentimentality? This is totally false. Men are to ensure that women are taught truthfully, not leave them to themselves like Adam and Eve. They are to be Christ to them and give them the whole word, true word of Christ. The church is thoroughly feminine today because men have shut up, thus disdaining the word of Christ and separated from women. The separation should go away. They are not from Christ. He pursued women with theology. Please reconsider the separations from women. I can't find this in the Bible, and I need deliverance from these crushing false beliefs just like you do. That's Barbara in Pennsylvania.
Did we suggest that men separate from women? I don't remember suggesting that, or the guest suggesting that. We were talking about men in church. Now, first of all, the conversation was about men in church and about the lack of men in church and why it is and what can be done about it. I don't think anyone, least of all our guest during that hour, Dr. Zeroth, would have suggested that the solution is for men to separate from women, leave women to their own devices. In fact, I think quite the opposite. I think he would, if he didn't explicitly say it, I think he would say that the very thing that men need in church is exactly the same thing that women need in church. And that a feminized church isn't a church for women any more than it's a church for men. A feminized church hardly qualifies as a church for anyone. It's not good for women or men. So we could say here, what is sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. The church that men so desperately need and are not finding in pop American evangelicalism and even mainstream denominations, the very church that men need is the same one that women need. If you find yourself in a feminized church, don't let your husband leave. You leave too, ladies. Go find one where the real Christ is preached, because you don't need it any more than he does.
There's another email on our series on Men in Church. Joseph in St. Louis has two questions for you. One, do you think that the current trends and state of feminized Christianity is simply a reflection of the feminization of Western society? I'm the father of three boys, and being a man myself, it seems that on every turn we are punished and discouraged for being masculine. That's his first question.
Okay, it's a good question. Yes, although I think in this case, this is not the church following the culture. It's one of those rare cases where it's not the church slavishly, apishly following whatever the culture tells it to do. That happens a lot. You know, if you listen to this program, it's one of my major criticisms of the American church is that it just follows the culture around like a lost puppy. But in this case, I think it's not the church following the culture. I think the church is leading the way when it comes to feminization. And it has been for a while. In fact, I think the culture may be more, less emasculated than the church in this particular case. There may be, in fact, the case here where the rightful image of a man is retained, at least in some bare sense, better in the culture than in the church. Now, I do know what you're talking about, that men are, in our politically correct culture, men are often chided and looked down upon for simply being men. I understand exactly what you're talking about. The male is depicted as kind of the lovable oaf. His wife's always two steps ahead of him, and he can just barely get through the day without her help. Just constantly, he couldn't even get dressed in the morning without her. I know that that's the picture. But I think in the culture in general, outside of sitcoms and movies and things like that, pop culture may have a better image of the real man than the feminized church does now. The church might be leading the way on this one, which is unfortunate. It's as bad as following the culture. We'll be right back.
Sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Helen Stinnett, Annette Housechild, Vonda Hyde, Pastor John Hill, David Rutter, Kathleen Butler, Mrs. Dave Parnell, Mark Wolfram, Diane, and Jeffrey Ware. Thanks for your support.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Repentance isn't measured by whether we were sincere enough. It's measured by God's written law, and measured against His written law, we lose. We're never sincere toward God.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism. We have a moral issue that we're trying to solve with a technological solution.
A God who, judicially speaking, is, if you pardon the expression, a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right. And when I see your body, I have to look twice at you. Is that really you, Todd? Oh, you look so wonderful now. Because the last time I saw you with your body on Earth, you looked awful.
A little bit of our sound bites of the week coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes. We'll give you a chance to vote on each and every one of those. See which one you want to be the soundbite of the week this week on Issues Etc. And before that, Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the meantime, we're going through listener email. The number is 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We still have more from that last email, don't we?
Yes, quickly on Men in Church, Joseph in St. Louis. Do you also think that these trends are due to the influences of theologians like Karl Barth and others who stress that being made in the image of God means that mankind is made with the capability of relationship? It stresses the importance of relationships to the point that people who follow this thinking will state that we are saved by our love relationship and not by faith.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily lay it at Karl Barth's doorstep, although that might be a good place to begin. Let's not completely throw out the relationship language. The term relationship in its modern, postmodern therapeutic sense, yes, that's pretty much useless to Christianity because the Bible knows of no such thing. This kind of touchy-feely, let me hear what you're saying kind of a thing. What did they used to call that? Transactional. Oh, I don't even remember. It's not even worth remembering. Transactional analysis? I don't even remember what it was. It was all the rage when I was in junior high and everyone was listening to one another with their brows furrowed, nodding their heads. I hear what you're saying. Yes, I hear what you're saying. That kind of therapeutic relationship language has no place in Christianity. But let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. The relationship is vital here, but it is one that that God establishes. Here's the relationship that Christianity presents as necessary unto salvation. Complete, abject, total dependence. That's the relationship that Christianity is. Sheer, unqualified, absolute dependence upon Christ. See, that's not the kind of relationship that the therapeutic model's talking about. The therapeutic model's talking about the 50-50, the give and take, the yin and the yang, and the I give a little, you give a little, and aren't we great together? That's not what it is with Jesus. There is no aren't we great together, you fulfill me, you fill up my senses like the mountain and what is it, John Denver sang so sappily so many years ago. No. That is not your relationship with Christ. Your relationship with Christ is sheer, complete, absolute dependence. Get used to it, male and female.
Billy is talking about the birth of these octuplets. Billy writes, "This is not responsible of the mother or the doctor that performed this in vitro fertilization. She must be commended for not aborting any of the children, though." According to the according to the interview, she said all the children have the same father. This indicates that he is aware of everything that is being done here, but is not taking any responsibility for any of it. This is also very irresponsible. The moral issues surrounding in vitro fertilization are questionable at best and should be reserved for married couples with fertility issues if used at all. Obviously, she's doing this for her own self-gratification. Look at all the publicity she has gotten. She is now famous. This woman needs our prayers. This is from Billy.
That was Billy. You know, we should have Billy on to talk about that. That's a very good summary, a very, very good summary of all the issues involved here. Now, I might take exception. I don't know if she's in it for the publicity. Of course, she's probably not. It's not being hurt by the publicity. She needs our prayers. She also needs our help, too. She has a tremendous and long-term task ahead of her. She really does. Whether it's the result of her irresponsibility or not, and let's commend her for keeping the babies, however she got the babies.
This is Bill in Fort Worth, Texas. He's responding to your interview with Dr. Lewis Brighton on Eternal Life. He said, "I found your broadcast quite by accident. I don't know for sure if I'm listening to a live broadcast, but I'm delighted to be able to hear Dr. Brighton's comments. I have Dr. Brighton's commentary on Revelation in the office bookcase behind me. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and often enjoy listening to local Christian radio broadcasts. However, they almost all represent and reflect the Baptist viewpoint, as you might expect, since two influential seminaries reside in Dallas and Fort Worth. There's so much confusion and misunderstanding, in my opinion, regarding the so-called end times, which itself is a huge topic of discussion in local Christian programming. It's refreshing to hear the Lutheran perspective on all this. Thanks, and may God bless you and your ministry, and may God bless Dr. Lewis Brighton, Bill, in Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, I'll second that, Bill, and thanks for listening in Fort Worth. And having grown up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I can second what he had to say about the content of Christian programming, not only there at the buckle of the Bible Belt, but also throughout all of America. I mean, if all conversation regarding aberrant views of the end times stopped in Christian television and Christian radio, there would be silence for a really long time between the commercials. And there might not even be some of the commercials. What's next?
This is Paul in Colorado regarding the open mics on the trademark issue and the threat of legal action against the two of us. Todd, Jeff, I listened to your web extra on the continuing evil that is LCMS' prideful attempt to destroy issues, etc., in your careers. I want to remind you that in the real Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, away from purple palaces and Lutheran popes, you are supported. I, for one, continue to pray for your success, and I'm glad I can support issues, etc., financially. It's been a blessing to have you back on the air. Finally, I pray for strength for you and your families as you continue to fight the good fight for Christ and not for corporations. For growing Christians, not church growth, for law and gospel, not lawsuits and movements. To paraphrase the first movie, The Chronicles of Narnia, whenever you find yourself in trouble, blow into the horn or mic and help will arrive. That's Paul in Colorado.
Paul, thank you very much. And we will. We know that, as we often say, now only our listeners can cancel us. And we don't just say that as a little tagline going into the break. We say that because we honestly believe it and it's true. Now only our listeners can cancel us. That's just one among many emails that I've received on the subject of the LCMS Inc.'s opposition to the application for the Issues Etc. trademark and their threat of legal action against us personally. I thank everybody who's keeping us in their prayers, and I know so many are, and people who are diligently kind of keeping their eyes on what's going on and calling for just a little bit of accountability for a change on the part of LCMS Inc. It's very gratifying.
Mike writes, have you ever thought of putting a list of your supporting congregations on the website, possibly with a link to the congregation's website? Maybe you've thought of this before.
We not only thought of it, I think it's practically a reality, isn't it?
Once we get the webmaster to make the corrections, we've got a test template up, and we will. One of the advantages of joining the IE 300 is, of course, not only supporting a mission outreach like this, but also advertising for your congregation. We run commercials you'll hear through the show mentioning churches that are part of the IE 300, and also we're going to have their hyperlink and their pastor's name and contact information on our website. It's going to be a new page called Find a Church.
Yeah, and it's quickly coming. It just awaits the final technical doodads and details, and then it will be there for the Issues Etc. 300 congregations. Find a church. You'll find a new section at our website, issuesetc.org.
I just got an email from eHarmony Dating. What's that all about?
It's probably for Craig, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Craig. Speaking of Craig, Craig's the only bachelor around here. What are you doing for Valentine's? Look at this. This guy, I can't believe he's not married. He just brought me some hot water for my hot chocolate. I mean, what are you doing for Valentine's Day, Craig? Huh? Bachelor man?
Big plans. Big plan. I'm actually going to a wedding, but I'm going to spend Valentine's Day with my mother and my grandmother.
Hey, he's a good boy. He's a good boy.
We're going to have all kinds of date requests for this.
He's a loser, but he's a good boy.
He is not a loser.
No, Craig is the opposite of a loser. Hey, ladies out there, if there are any single ladies, do not let this one get away. I'm serious. If I were of the opposite sex and single, I would snatch him up because he's a great guy. He's an absolute great guy. I'm glad I'm neither of the opposite sex nor single, but you know, that's just one of those hypothetics. Tell us how the basketball game went the other night.
We lost to Randy Moore Repair Service, lost to Richards Brick. And we had a new defense, 1-3-1 trap, and it worked to perfection early on. However, when you can't score baskets on the other end, and when the other team basically, it's like a soccer match when my son has the ball, that's like five other guys and, you know, chasing him around. It's, I think Justin had three or maybe four attempted shots in the entire game. We lost 16-13. Was the final.
That's a pretty low-scoring game. Yeah. I mean, even for...
That was because of the new defense we implemented, the 1-3-1 trap.
You
it was
shut
awesome.
Him down. Shut him down. He had the thing all outlined on the whiteboard out in the control room. He drew it not only once, but twice. Once for Craig, explaining his new defense, and then after the show, he had to show me his new defense. It looked like a brilliant strategy. Obviously, it wasn't, but it looked like a brilliant strategy. I guess it's a new defense for... Jeff's basketball team next time, and better luck. When we come back, Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then we're going to let you pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's Friday, February the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor George Spicer, Catherine Roots, Dan Cook, Melanie Washer, Chelsea Hutchinson, Brenda Thoe, Alan Benson, Pastor Wayne Dobratz, Carol Nemec, and Ryan DeBye. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A new pro-life group is forming. It's called the National Federation of Officers for Life. They're police officers, troopers, military police, federal agents, court officers, or those involved in related areas. The head organizer is Ruben Rodriguez, a retired deputy sheriff and Air Force veteran. Their goal is to be able to express their pro-life views and to help protect the rights of those who don't want to be forced to serve as security for abortion mills or pro-abortion rallies. They'll also work to protect the free speech rights of pro-life advocates. It's a nonpartisan, non-denominational group. If this might be a good fit for you or someone you know, you can help get the organization off the ground. If you'd like more details, visit today's program link at lifeissues.org.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance. Not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning. Cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cupful if you're a double mocha latte. Not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.